class is Sunday. We'll have class next Tuesday. It'll be our next model class. Show up, and I'll tell you when the next model class will be.
The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing into dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, and it's not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this evening to the doctrine of the day of God. Pick up around page 5 of our notes. All right, as is our prerogative and responsibility, we remind you to make sure that you're in fellowship, secure the fellow ministry of God and the Holy Spirit, so that we can once again this evening approach the truth of Bible doctrine as God the Holy Spirit is designed to give us insight in regards to His plan. This is both not only in regards to an ethical, moral, spiritual aspect of His plan and service to Him, but also in prophetic insight. And by being filled with God the Holy Spirit and the fastidious Father Volition and their studies of Bible doctrine, we can gain insight that is a blessing and probably surpasses insight for most believers in time otherwise that are not so inclined to seek God's Word to the degree and level of which we are so ambitiously striving to do in regards to this local church. So with that in mind, we'll give you the opportunity to rebound as we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, we know that your word will indeed be fulfilled. Every dot and iota and yod that is prevalent in regards to your word, and we ask that you bless us as we continue to understand these things in the confidence and hope of the eternal plan that you have in store for each and every one of us, of which we then will enjoy all the benefits of the glory and blessings and happiness that your salvation so provides in such a maximum way. We ask that God, the Holy Spirit, will again this evening enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the day of God is the eternal state phase of God's kingdom on planet Earth. In this phase, the Earth that it will be established on is a new Earth along with a new heaven with this new Jerusalem that He will create upon the completion of the previous era of the last part of human history known as the Day of the Lord. That includes a great white throne judgment of all unbelievers, the dissolution of our present heavens and earth, and the incarceration of unbelievers along with Satan and his demons into the lake of fire for all eternity. He then will institute his day, the day of the Father, of which he and the Son reside in co-regency and rule over the creatures of his creation, human and angelic, for all eternity in this perfect, pristine state. And as we have been bringing out, while obviously aspects of the new creation are revealed to us more specifically in the book of Revelation towards the end as we've been through it, there are other gaps in regards to our thinking in the past that we've not really been able to get a handle on, and it has come about as of recent some studies that we're able to put some more pictures of the puzzle together to give us additional insight in regards to this new eternal state of which redeemed humanity will be a part of in this regards. And that specifically is addressing the issue of the fact that in the new Jerusalem and the new creation of the new earth, you will have those who will live within the new Jerusalem who have residence there along with the Son and the Father in their manifestation, Jesus Christ in his manifested glory. And there will be others who reside outside of Jerusalem in a civilization known as nations. So the divine institution of nationalism, an afterthought, is designed, and note that it is divine, it's designed to exist for all eternity. So national, there will be nations, and this obviously indicates that there will be residents who live outside the city, as well as then residents who would live within the city. And the question is, who are these nations? Who makes up the peoples that will occupy the boundaries of terra firma outside of the New Jerusalem? And the New Jerusalem itself implies, at least, and has always been assumed in regards to the fundamentalist understanding, will be occupied by the resurrected saints of the Old Testament and New Testament dispensations. And that otherwise leaves open then who will otherwise live outside the New Jerusalem. And based on certain aspects of understanding, it is the proposition of this doctrine that the inhabitants will be made up of all the millennial saints. They will enter into the new eternal state in mortal bodies. And what makes this possible is realizing the significance of the tree of life that is pictured in the eternal state, as it's also compared to its presence in the Garden of Eden, and the significance of trees in regards to the river that flows from the throne in the millennial period for the individuals and inhabitants on this planet, in regards to its nourishment and medicinal values. And as we have brought out in the Garden of Eden, God made all the kinds of trees, fruit trees, etc., known essentially to man. And Adam and Eve were told that they could eat of any of these trees that they want to help themselves. But there were two particular trees that were highlighted. One was the tree of good and evil, and the other was the tree of life. And of all the trees that they were not to eat of, the tree of good and evil was only one singled out. And obviously, that's the tree they wanted. That's the tree they decided to eat of in that regards. And hence, we had the condition, the fallen condition of mankind and the development of the sin nature that becomes part of our genetic makeup of flesh. And the significance then of the tree of life is brought out, as we saw after the fact, that the Godhead brings forth the recognition that they would have to kick Adam and Eve out of the garden and guard it with a guardian angel from then on out, essentially until the garden was taken out of existence through the flood, unless they might go back and eat of the tree of life, a tree that they hadn't ate of at that point in time, and hence live forever. So the trees in the garden had properties that were associated with it that had a direct impact in regards to not only their lives spiritually, but to their physical and physiological existence. And if they had gone back and ate of the tree of life in the garden, even in a corrupted fleshly state, their life would have been perpetuated from then on out. And obviously, God couldn't have that, a condition of that to exist, and they were exiled in that respect. And we see then also, in comparison then, a tree of life that exists in the New Jerusalem, and that tree of life is made clear that its use is twofold. One, the fruit is there for the enjoyment of all believers, including those of resurrection body. But the leaves have been singled out, sanctified, if you will, for the benefit of the inhabitants who live outside of Jerusalem, called the nations. And the leaves were for the healing of the nations. And then we also have a parallel in regards to the millennial state of the trees that are associated with the miracle river that comes out of the Temple Mount going into the Mediterranean Sea, providing fruit and leaves that have both nourishment and medicinal properties attached to them. So this is a common denominator that we see in regards to trees that God has set up for blessing in this respect. And here, under the concept of the tree of life, which is our emphasis of both the beginning of Adam and Eve and now our eternal state. So the proposition that is set forth is that believers that live in the millennium, even those who die, they will simply only be resuscitated. Those who make it throughout the millennium will enter into the eternal state in their normal mortal bodies. They will, obviously, part of the problem is they continue to have an SCA because they had to exercise faith in Christ, obviously, in the millennium for their own salvation. They went into the millennium in their mortal bodies, passed down through the procreating process, how the SCA is handed down from generation to generation through the Father. And the problem is, what about the SCA? And it is the leaves, the tree of life, that will go in and essentially reverse the effects of the SCA in the mortal body. And these believers' SCA will once and for all times be eradicated. And therefore, they do not have a sinful flesh. Now, in this condition, these believers will continue to produce a civilization as God originally intended for man to do under the restoration scenario. And that is to reproduce and live in a righteous and sinless world. And as we know, again, Adam and Eve messed up, and it did not end up that way. But in the new eternal state, those in their mortal bodies will continue to have children under the divine institution of marriage, and family, obviously resurrected saints. We will not be involved in marriage in our condition. It will not be part of our protocol of existence any longer, but those in their mortal bodies obviously will still attain to the divine institutions that are part of the national makeup. And by man, by woman, family is part of that. And without a sin nature, without this, if you will, diseased DNA as part of their reproductive process, they will be able to reproduce offspring that do not have a sin nature. And this is a time in existence where all men will live by sight. The fact that they are not accounted with sin, they are brought into this world, born in this world, sinless, and are not even in need of salvation because of that very principle. So that is the pillar of this doctrine that shows how the nations will exist, who their inhabitants will be, and that it will simply continue to extend God's original plan for mankind now in this new pristine condition. Now, I know there's probably other thoughts that one would have. Well, what about souls going into these individuals born positive, negative, volition? Well, God's got that worked out. Don't worry about it. If you have people from now on, how's God going to handle all those numbers? Well, evidently he has something in store. Initially, he had planned to do it with Adam and Eve, you know, to reproduce, have kids, keep on having kids, and a flourishing civilization to expand in their great blessing. Now, you have the millennium great blessing going on, and nobody's going to run out of room even then. So all these things, obviously, there's still questions that we will have to wait to have answered. But I'm convinced that the premise and the pillars of the inhabitants of the eternal state are sound based on what we know in Scripture. Revelation only pictures two resurrections. The first resurrection that contextually dealt with the tribulational saints who are martyred, that come into the wave of resurrections along with Old Testament and New Testament saints at the church age dispensation, and that's the final of the first resurrection, as they're inclusive in that. Then the second resurrection are unbelievers. There is no mention, no citation of resurrection for millennial saints otherwise. So we were looking at, as part, last time in Roman numeral 4, comparisons and contrasts between the millennial phase and the eternal phase of the kingdom. And just by way of review here, because this does help bring out for us the similarities as well as things that would be slightly different in this regard. In both phases, the resurrection saints will rule over the rest of mortal humanity. You had that in the millennium. What's the problem having it in the eternal state? Be resurrected saints and mortals will interact. Same scenario, you know, for people that might bring these things up in question. Well, you have it in the millennium. Why couldn't you have it in the eternal state? See, Satan's malignant influences are not present, as he is either in the abyss below or the lake of fire, either during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign in the millennium or for all eternity in the eternal state. He's absent. So those are similar. These saints who are mortals start up both civilizations. Individuals in their mortal bodies will walk into the millennial period, in the millennial dispensation on this planet, and continue to be married and have children and have jobs and under Christ's reign and rule, obviously, restart civilization as God's righteousness so intends it under nationalism as he wipes out the New World Order attack. Both periods enjoy the benefits of a river flowing with trees for the benefit of the nations. Again, Ezekiel 47, 12, and the Revelation passage shows that parallel. F, no curse in the eternal phase, meaning there will be no pain in childbirth or work by the sweat of their brow or acclimating to an authority with an SCA. So, obviously, certain things will change, especially for the female population getting kids. A pain of childbirth is part of the judgment that came upon the female race for their part in the fall. It was not originally intended for Eve to hurt when she had kids. It was going to be a blessing. the DNA change from the SCA did something that childbirth hurts like hell from what I understood. What people tell me. So that's going to change, so you don't have that to have to go out and till the ground and bust you know what to make a living. That's going to be done away with, etc. No more, obviously, everything will be in pristine condition. You won't get hurt, etc. God will protect with respect to all these things. So all that's done away with. The curse will be softened significantly. Then during the 1,000 years, you'll see the elevation to this end during the millennium, but not in its ultimate state, because you still will have people that will die in the millennium. You're going to have the final rebellion, you know. So some of these verses are more particular, aimed at the eternal state versus just the millennial state. So often we probably, as leaders, we're in resurrection bodies, we're going to be like this. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be for the rest of mankind. God will wipe away all tears from those coming into eternal state from the millennium. Death will no longer be a factor in the eternal phase as it was even in our present history. Both Jews and Gentiles, J, will exist in either resurrection bodies or natural bodies. K, faith will exist in the millennium, but faith is not an issue in the eternal state. It says, we will walk by sight, so will those in their mortal bodies. They'll walk by sight. L, men are required to make the judgments of God during 1,000 years, but not in the day of God. It'll just be natural. how else explain it? It will be inherent in regards to all those who live in the eternal state and come into existence. In millennial saints, we may die, will undergo resuscitation so they can enter the eternal state and participate in the nations that come to Jerusalem. And there's no problem for God in God resuscitating people versus giving them resurrection bodies. If you give a resurrected body, obviously you can resuscitate somebody. In nations do homage or bring gifts to Christ ruling in Jerusalem during 1,000 years. We'll do the same in the eternal phase. It's like a millennium is Christ just getting warmed up. See, warming up the state of God's kingdom. The eternal state will witness no rebellion or negative volition, such as will occur in the transitional phase. And God's got all this under control. He's got it all figured out. So P, God's very throne will be on earth while in the millennial era, the throne of David will be occupied by Christ, the son of David. In eternity, they will be combined. It will be co-regency. The throne of David for all eternity, along with the throne of God himself, for the third heaven. Because it will be relocated there. The Father's throne remain in the third heaven during 1,000 years. The eternal state is a very amped up version of 1,000 years. And the STA and death genes are eradicated in the eternal state, while longevity is increased in the millennium. So the longevity of life is simply increased in the millennium, but the promise of living forever and conclusively, not ever dying, does not come about until the eternal state for those in their mortal bodies. So, all right, Roman numeral 7 now, where we left off. Further observations. A, resuscitation is never a problem for God, as he will do it as late as the return of the two witnesses. Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11:3 and following. They will be resuscitated and placed on this planet for the first 3.5 years of the tribulational period. And at the end of that 3.5 years, they'll be decapitated. They'll be killed. And everybody's going to party down for 3 days until God resuscitates them and they float back off into the third heaven. And everybody freaks. B, humanity propagating forever is apparently not a problem, as that was God's intention when he placed Adam and Eve in the garden and granted them procreative powers. So C, reversing the negative physiological aspects of the original sin. It's not out of the question if God created the dynamic in the first place. The wherewithal, the tree of good and evil, it was there he created his DNA makeup that would have the effect that it was going to have when they ate of it. So if he can create one, he can create the other. No biggie. He can create an anti-STA prescription. A superior form of humanity coexisting with an inferior form of humanity is not a problem, as it clearly so exists during the millennial phase. All mankind will have access to God and his throne, which will fulfill God's desire to dwell among his people. The nations will have access to the New Jerusalem. Obviously, the residents have direct access. They live there. Old Testament, New Testament saints in their resurrection bodies. So F, God will literally shine on everyone as all will live in the light of his perfect essence, as there will be no need of sun or other stellar lights, lamps. God's essence, reflection of his glory, manifestation of the all-sufficient. He's obviously absolute light. So he will produce the light of the new creation. And he will literally shine on everyone. So G, that people with sin natures will initially enter the eternal state. It's not a problem if God lets Satan come before the throne in heaven. For one to exist and have a presence does not mean they're part of the makeup or the essence of the environment. And obviously God allows Satan audience to approach him as he did with Job. Satan in regards to Job. Job 1:6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Pretty clear cut. So he was granted audience. And as we know, it's all to landless believers. 2:1, again there was a day, another time, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. Then you have the verse in Revelation, Revelation 12. And be, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of this Christ have come. For the accused of our brothers have been thrown down, to accuse them before our God day and night. He's pretty busy in regards to slandering believers before God. Obviously, he's able to transport himself instantaneously. And he's consistently there. And one thing he hates and despises is Paul's volition. I can tell you that much. And he needs to adhere to the truth of God and his plan. He hates all believers in general. So, for individuals of mortal bodies that still may possess a sin nature, to enter into the eternal state and to enter into the New Jerusalem is not any problem. They're going, first and foremost, to get the prescription to eradicate their SCA for all times to begin with. And they're all under the umbrella of salvation before Christ otherwise in this respect. So those things, you know, things, these are just certain things. And going through this, you try to address issues and questions that come up and dealing with them. All right, Roman numeral 8, now some concluding verses. As they would be applied here. With the eternal phase will come about the ultimate result of the prayer petition. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in the model prayer, Matthew 6:10. That has a twofold fulfillment. And again, the eternal state multiplies and deepens your understanding in regards to things such as this prayer. It's not just looking for Christ to come. Yes, we want that, because obviously that's in the process. But what we're looking for, truly, ultimately, is a new heavens and a new earth, an eternal phase, and the kingdom be established once and for all with no more, ever, interruptions. That be for the royal family, for church-age believers, we have Ephesians 2:7. That reads, so that in the ages to come, that's in the plural, beyond the church age, there's ages, that's the millennial age and the eternal age. He might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Then in the churches, Revelation 2:7 promises, obviously, to believers, to him who overcomes, which overcoming is technical for believers in these messages to these churches. I will grant permission to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise, the new Jerusalem of God, next to the river that comes from God's throne. So, all believers will have access to the tree of life, including resurrection believers. But the leaves themselves are set apart, specifically, to benefit the nations. And Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes will make him a pillar that denotes a regular and permanent fixture in the temple of my God. And will not go out from it anymore. Well, the New Jerusalem doesn't have a temple. God and the Son are his temple. So, obviously, once you are there, in their presence, this becomes a reality. And being a pillar, obviously, indicates that you're part of this port of the manifestation of the Son, God, in the New Jerusalem. So, I kind of, always in hindsight, you kind of wish I'd had this doctrine before we did Revelation, but that's all right. We learn as we go. And he will not go out from it anymore. And will write on him my the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God, and my new name. Certain perks for believers, resurrection bodies that will live in eternal state. That's part of being residents of the new Jerusalem. In contrast to those living outside. All right, Roman numeral 9 now. Some final observations. Heaven above as is hell below is a temporary place to be replaced with eternal happiness for God's people on a new earth as related to a new city, the new Jerusalem. The third heaven for as a residence, if you will, of believers, where believers die and go to heaven, is essentially temporary. A temporary holding motel time for the eternal state to come about. Just as Sheol Hades, in the center of the earth, is a temporary holding cell for unbelievers until the great white throne judgment, where they will be placed in their permanent residence called the Lake of Fire. Our permanent residence will be in the New Jerusalem. So be those in heaven in their souls are currently under semi-ultimate sanctification. Sanctification simply needs to be set apart. And obviously, they're set apart to God, but it's not come yet to complete fruition, to the ultimate setting apart. And that does not occur for all of us until we actually reach the eternal state. So again, noting the temporary habitat of the New Jerusalem, or of the heavenly Jerusalem, etc., in this respect. So, see the new earth under the eternal regime. We'll experience an ever expanding human race as God's original intention in the garden will be realized. His plan, where others in the past have thought had been foiled in regards to his original creation, was not foiled. It is simply interrupted. It's just an obstacle was placed in front of it. And he overcomes that obstacle, and his original plan will continue to come to fruition. He just forces some ants on the way, that's all. D, apart from the person and work, obviously, of Jesus Christ, none of this would be possible. Why, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He makes all this possible. He is the salvation of God's plan, his original intention in creation of man. Pretty cool. The Lord Jesus restores fully what Adam forfeited. F, had Adam not sinned, there would have been no need for a Savior, as a race would have been born sinless, and the angelic conflict would have then there been resolved. So why can't you not have this same scenario in regards to the eternal state under the concept of mortal human beings? Yes, you can. And we're presenting that for you. Had Adam done what he was supposed to have done, the spiritual history of man would have been quite different. Nothing like what it is now. Guarantee you that. Satan and his angels would have been cast in the lake of fire at that time. Alright, so Christ restores what Adam forfeited, and God's purpose is realized in those that live outside the city in natural but immortal bodies. They too will live forever. And again, God has the power to cover all the bases to ensure the integrity of their eternal life in mortal bodies. Those that reside in the city reign over those on the outside and join the fellowship of those that periodically visit the New Jerusalem. Obviously, to be in the New Jerusalem is where you want to go. It would be like, pick your most favorite vacation spot in the whole world. one that everybody would throw their hat, yeah, that's where you want to go. Well, that's a new Jerusalem. And for saints and resurrection bodies, we live in vacation world. That's where our residence will be, and that's where the rest of the nations will long to go and visit, and they will, as they pay homage, respectively, to Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, along with the Father. And we'll have fellowship with them in that state, in that way. It's okay, those that live as Adamite have are the product of the millennial saints, which means someone living today and surviving the tribulation could enter the eternal phase of the kingdom in their natural body. That's a pretty heavy thought. That there could be people walking on this planet who will never die. Right now. Now, obviously, you say, well, you know, if the rapture occurs, if that's going to happen to us. Yeah, but we're talking about people that aren't even resurrected in their mortal bodies. So it's a step above, if you will. And again, as spectacular as you may think this is, how much more spectacular is it that saying that, hey, our body's going to instantaneously change into this unbelievable body. But we believe that, do we not? So, you know, doesn't take that much faith when you've got the doctrine that presents it. When you hold the Bible doctrine as the faith. So, okay, again, those that live as Adam might have are the product of millennial saints, which means someone living today and surviving tribulation could enter the eternal phase of the kingdom in their natural body. Adam and Eve will live under the superior conditions as resurrected saints themselves. They're part of the resurrection saints. Again, no curse means no death, no pain in childbirth, as well as those other negatives man is beset by. And will continue to be beset by even through the millennium. For